A very good evening. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our hosts, Southeast Hebrew Congregation in Silver Spring, Maryland. Yuma Daf Hey, Yuma 5A, pagination page 9. We'll start from the facing page, so we're starting on Dalet Amud Beis, 4B, pagination 8, 4 lines up from the bottom, towards the middle of the line, De Itmar, because we learnt. You would be on the facing page. No, you would be on that page. 4 lines up from the bottom, De Itmar, we learnt. Miluim, regarding the Miluim, the inauguration of the Mishkan, which is where we learn the 7 days sequestering for the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur, according to Rabbi Yochanan. He learns that 7 days, just as they did at that time. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina, there's a different machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina. And this machlokes states, Chad Omar, one opinion is, Kol HaKosa Bohen, Me'ake Bohen, whatever is written by the Miluim is required. And if you don't do it, Me'akev, it's going to invalidate what you're doing. For Chad Omar Dava, Me'akev L'doros, Me'akev Bohen, only things that are necessary in generations are going to be required by the Miluim. She'ein ma'akev ledoros, ein ma'akev bohen. But anything that's not required for generations is not going to invalidate the Miluim. In other words, there are things written by the Miluim that you're supposed to do. Does it have the same allowances of preferably do them, but if you didn't, you're still Yotze? Or it's really rigid. This is the Miluim we're talking about. You're inaugurating the Mishkan. You better get it right. Right? And we know that in Jewish observance, this is all the time. Supposed to hold your cup in the, you're supposed to hold the kos in your right hand.
For Kiddush.
What happens if you're a righty and you were supposed to be holding it in your right hand and you didn't? You held it in your left hand. Are you still Yotze Kiddush? Right? You are. You're supposed to hold your front two tzitzis in your hands when you say Baruch Sha'amar in the morning. What happens if you forgot? You're still Yotze. The things that if you don't do it perfectly, you're Yotze. What is the guideline for Miluim? So one opinion said, whatever's written there, you better do right. And the other opinion says, if it's something that's required for generations, then it would have invalidated by the Miluim. But if for generations, it's only a preferable thing, a proper way of doing it, as we'll see on today's daf, smicha, leaning on the animal, and tenufa, taking the portions of the animal after the shechita, and waving them in a certain way, so then that's not absolutely required in terms that it's not going to invalidate if you don't do it. And therefore, this opinion says, by the Miluim, if you didn't do it, even though it's written there you're supposed to do it, it wouldn't invalidate. Okay, what are we building to? We want to know which opinion says which. Says the Gemara, 3 lines up, Tistayim, I want to bring you a proof. Rabbi Yochanan is the one who holds that whatever is written by the Miluim is absolutely required. Because one of the questions that was asked on Rabbi Yochanan, when he learned out the 7-day sequestering from Miluim, one of the questions was, over there it's required. It would invalidate the entire inauguration if the Kohen wasn't sequestered. And we know that by Yom Kippur, if the Kohen Gadol is not sequestered, it does not invalidate the entire Yom Kippur. How do we know that? Because the Mishnah told us, Maskinin lo Kohen achar tachtov, we designate another Kohen to take his place, and we don't say the word mafrishim, that we lock him up in a room. We designate him, but we don't sequester him. So clearly, if you're using him as a backup, he's only a valid backup if it's going to work. Obviously, if you needed to, you would tap into a person who did not have the prisha, the separation. And Rabbi Yochanan has no response. Meaning, by miluim, it's required and it would invalidate. And by Yom Kippur, it's required, but it does not invalidate. And Reish Lakish is saying there's an inconsistency here. And Rabbi Yochanan has no answer. Had he held by miluim that it's not required, he would have had an answer. It wasn't ma'akiv by the miluim either. But he doesn't have that answer. And therefore, to Stayim, it's a proof that Rabbi Yochanan indeed is the opinion that holds that whatever is written by miluim is required. And that's why it was odd that we learn it out of the miluim, but we only learn it out of the miluim as a lesson, not as an absolute requirement. Mai beinayhu, this is what I alluded to. What is the difference? What kind of case is it that's listed by the miluim and we know is not required for generations? And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina were arguing how important it was by miluim. Top of today's daf, Hey Yomer Aleph, Omer Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, Smicha Ike Beinayu. It's talking about that leaning on the animal, resting your hands on the head of the animal before the Shechita. That act, is it absolutely required or not? Because for generations, it's not required. Lemanda Omar, according to the opinion that it's going to invalidate Semicha Ma'akva. Semicha is going to invalidate. Lemanda Omar Dovish Ein Ma'akiv L'doros Ein Ma'akiv Bohen. But for generations it's not invalidating. So this opinion says it's not invalidating by Miluim either. Then Semicha Lo Ma'akva, Semicha would not invalidate. Well, Udoros Minolan de Loma Akva, how do you know for generations that if they forgot to do smicha, the animal is still a good carbon? The Tanya, because we learned, Visomach Venirtse. You'll lean on the animal, and Venirtse, and the carbon will be accepted. Asks the Gemara, V'chis smicha mechaperes. Really? It's the smicha that brings the Venirtse? The atonement? The acceptance? Following Kapore Lebedam. It's the blood being sprinkled on the Mizbeach that's the critical moment. Shenema ki adam hu banefesh yechaper. It's the blood that atones. Umata meloma v'samach v'nirtze. So what does it mean v'samach v'nirtze? Don't read it. V'samach, if you lean, then v'nirtze, it'll be accepted. But rather you should lean it, read it. V'samach, you'll lean v'nirtze, but it'll be accepted either way. Because we know that the acceptance is not based on the smicha. So the venirtza, like you got to put in the punctuation, v'samach, kama, or dot, 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 venirtza. Either way, it'll be accepted as long as the blood was sprinkled. Shemasol l'smicha shiare mitzvah. If you make the leaning on the animal as if it's just an extra, which you're not allowed, because it's really part of the mitzvah and you're supposed to do it. But if you made it like it's an extra, the Torah says, it's as if you didn't get your atonement, but you did get your atonement. Meaning, you didn't get your atonement in the ideal way, but it works. And that's the reluctance that we have for doing a mitzvah in the improper way. You were yotze, but it wasn't the way you were supposed to do it. Okay. So the first approach is that the difference regarding miluim, a case that's mentioned by miluim, but for generations is not required, is the case of smicha. And it's in that case that Rabbi Yochanan says, it's required, and Rabbi Chanina would say, well, if it doesn't invalidate in future generations, then it's not going to invalidate now either by the miluim. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Omar, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, you said smicha is the difference. I'll tell you, tenufa ike beinayu. The waving of the meat after the shechita, that waving is the critical thing. And again, he goes through the explanation that for generations, tenufa is not required to the point of invalidating the korban if it isn't done. And therefore, according to one opinion, by milum, it won't invalidate either. And according to the other opinion, Rabbi Yochanan, if it's written by milum, you better do it right, and it would invalidate, even though for generations, it doesn't invalidate. The question that I'd like to pose is Rav Zilberstein's question mentioned in Chashukei Chemed. He says, fine, you're telling me that there are certain mitzvahs that are shiyorei mitzvah. It's the best way to do the mitzvah, but they're like somewhat of an extra. If I didn't do it at least b'di'eved, I still get away with doing the mitzvah and it's accepted. So he says, how far do you have to go to do a mitzvah or do the part of the mitzvah that's not intrinsically required to the point of invalidating? How far do I have to go? For smicha, for tenufa? And he asks a beautiful question. Arba minim on sukkis. The four species on sukkis. I could be yotze by my mitzvah by using the shul set. The proverbial shul set. The shul collectively bought one set for its members. And everybody took a turn. And they lifted it, they shaked it, they shook it, and they were yotze. On the other hand, I'm missing out on shiyorei mitzvah, like the waving of the tenufa, which the Gemara in Sukkah actually compares it to, which pushes away the bad dew and the bad wind. So waving the arba minim also does that. So I'm not going to be able to do that during Hallel, because if there's only one set to the shul, only one person is going to be able to do it. And that's the impetus for me to buy my own set. How important is it that I should have my own set? So we know for an actual mitzvah saseh, we would go as far as a fifth of your assets in order to obtain a pair of tefillin, for example, to obtain a set of arba minim when you don't have them. If it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, first day Yom Tif, let's say, you would even spend an enormous amount. How much do you have to spend for the minor part of a mitzvah in order to be yotze it? We know that very often we say, shasat chak is kidyeved domi. When I'm under stress, then we give it the rule of what would be if I didn't do it. And it has the same rule, even though you could do it, but it's that much stress that we consider it kidyeved domi. How much? To make a long story short, he asked this question to Reb Chaim Kanievsky. And Reb Chaim Kanievsky said, you can't obligate an enormous amount of money because it's recognized as shiyorei mitzvah. It's like the leftovers of the mitzvah. The fact is, it doesn't invalidate the mitzvah if you didn't do it. On the other hand, it's proper to do it. It's an enormous protection. It really shows what you're made of if you do a mitzvah the right way. And Reb Chaim's wording was, "Kemosha machshiv kach heim shovim." The amount that you value it and you spend for it, that's what it's worth. It's a self-fulfilling value. And depending on the person, he may decide only to spend a nominal amount in order to get this mitzvah. He may decide to spend more. And whatever he does is valid, because that's really him being machshav of the mitzvah according to what it is. Yeshikoach, have a great evening.